You're listening to Bad Trip, the true crime and other weird shit podcast where two sisters take you on a wild ride through some of the world's most fucked up places. Each episode, we journey to a new location and explore its sordid past, creepiest urban legends, and landmarks you won't find in the guidebooks. So buckle up, because it's about to be a bad trip.
We interrupt this program because the civil authorities have issued a contagious disease warning.
911, where is your emergency?
The U.S. Navy has finally acknowledged that videos appearing to show UFOs flying through the air are real.
Initially, many thought the pops they heard were fireworks associated with the show, but soon it became obvious that this was an attack.
I got my meat.
I like rusty spoons.
Okay, no, but hello, this is Bad Trip.
Hi, this is Taylor.
This is Shauna, and this is our meat.
This is our meat. This is the meat episode. It's a detour.
In Nevada. No, right before we were recording this, I still have tears in my eyes because Taylor is drinking a Bloody Mary. And she dropped her fake lunch meat in the Bloody Mary. It was part of the whole deal. We're from Wisconsin. We love our Bloody Marys.
I'll share a photo.
I'll share a video.
Oh, no. I guess. I don't care. Whatever.
And so she dropped the slice of fake deli meat in the Bloody Mary. And she's like fishing it out with her fingers at our podcast desk. And she's like speaking in a British accent.
She's secretly recording me. And I'm like, it better be worth it. Like the creepiest, yeah. Like Gollum situation.
She's like, I dropped my meat.
Please, sir, may I have some more?
Oh my God. So yeah, if I have your permission, I would love to post that on our Instagram and our website.
I have no dignity. Go okay. Ahead.
Amazing. So if you want to see that video of Taylor, you can just... I can't stop thinking about it and laughing. But you can check it out at badtrippod.com. I'll put it on our episode guide and also our Instagram at badtrippod.
Yeah, and just so you guys know, it was worth it. That was really fucking good. Okay. It was good.
I'm glad it was worth it. She's now just like covered in tomato sauce, though.
I licked it off.
Oh, okay.
You know, like adults do. They clean themselves.
Duh. Oh my God. Okay, so this is Bad Trip. We are a true crime and other weird shit podcast, and like we said, we're back in Nevada this week with a detour episode. So Taylor and I are each going to tell you a little short story about something weird or fucked up in Nevada.
Yeah, and before we start, Sean is going to give a little disclaimer for this wacky shit that we record and like put out to you guys for, you know, for fun.
Exactly. So in case you, didn't understand by the first like 2 minutes of this podcast, we're fucking insane and ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, but like I said, this is a true crime podcast. We talk about all kinds of weird shit, not just crime. We like to go down weird rabbit holes and be goofy, and we swear, and we're kind of obnoxious. And if you're not into that, that's fine, but we're not for you.
Sometimes we even piss off our family members.
Oh, yeah. We may have made some factual errors, but it's about our family, so I don't even care.
Yeah, it's fine. Sorry. Sorry, Mom.
Those are the only mistakes we've ever made on this podcast.
Ever. It's like, I know where everything is geography wise. I can tell you anything. I'm a topography expert. I'm a map maker. I'm a cartographer.
Oh, I just want to address that pandas don't eat meat, FYI.
Oh, no. I was supposed to edit this weeks ago.
I said no, but I said this like forever ago that I found an article that said pandas eat meat in the wild. And literally the article headline was misleading and it said that. But it was saying like, they eat a diet that gives them the same nutrients as meat. And I was like, okay, that's not the fucking same.
That's not the same. It's like my plant-based meat that was in my Bloody Mary isn't meat.
Right. These pandas aren't like, oh, I dropped my meat.
They're like I dropped my veggies. Bamboo. Oh, yummy.
Yes. So I don't even know.
Oh, God. Do you want to just jump in? Do you want to tell us your story, your detour?
Yeah. So last week we talked a little bit about Nevada as a state, and then Taylor gave us a true crime story about a missing woman. Very, very sad and mysterious.
It was mysterious. It was almost as if it was an unsolved mystery of sorts.
Almost.
Wow. Okay, so I think I remember you said last week we're going to get into some brothel knowledge today.
Yeah, so I did bring it up a little bit in last week's episode, but I didn't go too in depth because I want to cover it more today. And honestly, as I was doing research, I realized this could be like a full podcast series, if not, you know, like it could be obviously like a full ass episode. But I'm just going to hit some highlights and some things I think are interesting. And that's it.
Okay, I love it. And, you know, once we make it around the world and all the continents I don't know, we'll be back and you can do more shit in Nevada.
Yeah. All right. So just a heads up, I am going to cover some of what I covered last episode, but just a little bit as a refresher. So if you didn't hear last week's episode, then you'll be up to speed.
Yeah. Or if you're me and you just like don't remember.
Totally blocked it all out. Blacked out.
Blacked out.
Before we get into it, I want to say something mildly serious. Well, it's serious. And it's kind of just about like the ethics of brothels and prostitution and sex work.
All right.
So I think I've said this on the podcast before, but one thing that really like pisses me the fuck off is when people act like sex work is so degrading always.
Right.
Like it definitely can be. I'm not denying that.
Yeah.
And yes, a lot of people are trafficked and end up in this position when they don't want to be. And that's obviously fucked up.
But that's different because that's not sex work.
Right. That's slavery.
Yes.
So, you know, that's not the case for everyone. A lot of people really enjoy their jobs. So a lot of people will be like, if you're quote unquote a prostitute, you're selling your body. And I'm like, how is that different from an athlete or a construction worker who's selling their body?
Right. It's like you're doing a job to completion and you're getting paid for it. That's what fucking work is. And like you said last time, what's the difference in porn?
Right. Like you're having sex on camera or you're having sex in a room with someone like
without
what?
A camera. It's like, what? Fuck you.
It makes no sense. It's so arbitrary. Our society is so fucking prude.
It's so prude and also frustrating because I'm like, the people that make it degrading are normally the disgusting men that make it degrading.
Yes, it's not inherently degrading.
Right. It's like the women or, you know, whoever, whatever gender is performing the sex work probably doesn't think it's degrading. Or they wouldn't do it.
Right. Or, I mean, some people do because I'll talk a little bit about it actually in this episode.
Yeah.
But in general, like there are definitely people who, especially in other countries where it is decriminalized or, you know, they have other systems going on.
Mm-hmm.
People can just like make their own hours and do their own stuff. And people do it here too illegally.
Yeah.
But a lot of people really thrive in that environment. And I say good the fuck for them.
I know. It's really frustrating. Like, okay, let me throw up a camera and then you can't arrest me.
It makes no sense.
Okay. Like, I'll put up my phone then. Bye.
Right? Ooh, that's a good workaround.
Mm. I'm sure people have thought of it. I'm the first one that's ever thought of it. Oh. My Furbo.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's like, sorry, my Furbo's on.
It's like, we hear an animal barking. And you're like, no, that's just me having sex.
I'm like, sorry, that's me barking.
Oh, sorry, mom and dad. Mostly dad.
I'm not.
But yeah, so I just wanted to go on that little tangent and talk about sort of the ethics and acknowledge that there are obviously people who are in brothel situations that do not want to be. And that's not okay. But yeah, I just wanted to give that little, I guess, disclaimer.
Well, thank you.
And obviously in this episode, we're talking about legal sex work. Because if you remember last week, brothels are legal in Nevada.
Right, but not in Vegas. They're legal in like the weird desert parts.
Yeah. And they're very strictly regulated. So like I said, it's not like anyone can just open their house and turn it into a brothel. So in the 80s, Nevada had 35 active brothels, but now there are only 20. If the info I found was correct, last week I said 21, but I found different info. So,
ooh, you lie.
I'm never wrong, you guys.
Lie, lie, lie.
Except about pandas.
Oh, yeah, that one panda thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, before we start talking a little more in depth about these brothels, I want to just show you some merch that you can purchase if you visit them.
Oh, my gosh. I love merch. Okay. Give me a t-shirt. Give me a t-shirt.
There is a t-shirt. If you guys want to see this for yourself, you can check it out on our website at badtrippod.com on the episode guide. There's also a link in the show notes, aka the episode description. And you can also see them on our Instagram at badtrippod.
Oh, my God. Okay. The first thing that I see is a $5 pen
mm-hmm.
that's really I would spend $15 on. First of all, it's one of those like dope ass plastic thick, like you twist it for the pen to come out and it's not good quality. You can get them at a bank.
It's giving me 90s vibes.
It's hard 90s. And it says the company name. Inez's Dancing and Diddling.
Yes, it's the place is called Inez's D&D, and that's what it stands for.
Wow, I love a diddling. I love a good diddling.
They're diddling all over the place. And this pen can, I'm sure, solve some, you know, diddling for you too.
And then you have like a chip clip. Donna's Ranch. The like slogan, is that what you'd call it?
I think so.
Of Donna's Ranch is, we put the smiles in your miles.
I don't know what that means.
Is it like people have to travel far out of Vegas maybe to get here, so they're like making it worth it?
That makes sense, yeah. But like, wouldn't it be the miles in your smile? I mean, it wouldn't be. But
it wouldn't be whatever. Any of the above, honestly, if I could choose.
Look, I guess if you're going to get laid in the middle of the desert, like, you'll take a chip clip that says whatever. This comes in a set of three, I believe. At least there were three in the picture.
Obviously.
I just cropped it. Yeah. So a lot of these places are called ranches because they are like in the middle of the fucking desert. So,
oh, okay.
So Donna's Ranch, she's got these chip clips for everyone.
I'll take a chip clip.
I'll take one too. You can also, I don't know about all these, but some of them you can order online. So if you're interested, check them out.
I mean, the pen has me more enthralled.
Yeah. And then the third one's a t-shirt like you asked for.
Okay. And this is everything I've ever needed. It's for the Mustang Ranch. And by the way, it's like a tan t-shirt with pink and purple font.
It's very bright. It's like, look, I don't know. It looks like it's from Six Flags.
The Mustang Ranch's logo is amazing. And it,
did you say slogo?
I did. Oh my god,
like a slogan slash logo.
Yeah, so their slogo, it's a new thing, is I was gonna say it blows Donna's Ranch out of the water.
Ooh, nice.
Where the customer always comes first.
That is quality.
Wow,
shit.
Wow. And there's like a chick like silhouette lassoing, and she has a cowboy hat on. Her tits are probably out.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're interested in getting any of this merch, you know, we'll have the sources also in our episode guide.
I'm going to follow them.
All right. So back to how brothels work in Nevada. They are only allowed in counties with populations of less than 700,000 people. And that law was created specifically to keep them out of Las Vegas.
Well, that's a weird way to do it.
Yeah. So there was like this whole thing. I started typing out the history, but it just got like too intense.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, they were legal everywhere. And then eventually the ones in some big cities shut down, and then they reopened, and then they were called a public nuisance. So it's been like kind of a lot of push and pull through the years. And they're just now illegal in a lot of places.
That's rude. I've been called a public nuisance and I'm not illegal.
That's so true.
Damn. Fight for your rights.
Come on. Well, a brothel's not a person. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure someone by now has named their kid Brothel.
That's so true.
I wouldn't be fucking surprised. It's like some actor that, you know, just bleh.
You could call them L, or you could call them Broth.
This is Baby Broth.
Baby Broth.
He's 57.3 weeks old. I mean, months old.
Yeah. That's like a full-ass child.
He's been driving now for 47 months.
Mm-hmm. He's just kind of like ahead of his class.
He's top 7%.
Speaking of class, we're first.
I take a PJ.
Well, if you want to take a PJ to one of these places, we probably can, because they're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yes.
So regulations and laws have been passed that ban or limit brothels in some rural places, like I said. I didn't say that. Actually, not just cities, also in rural places. And the brothels that do exist need to be licensed, which costs from $100,000 to $200,000 every year.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah, it's the state makes a lot of moolah off of these things.
Ugh.
Also, the women that work there, and I say women because it's like, I think, entirely women.
Yeah, that's like who they hire.
Yeah. They are required to like register with the sheriff's department in the local counties. And then that could eventually hurt them later on if they want to apply for jobs. It's like on record. So it's like not the best situation. Like, I understand the need to document it, I guess, but it kind of fucks people over.
I mean, I can 1099 as a private contractor and you don't have to know what I'm doing as long as I pay my taxes.
Yeah, well, they are. They actually are contractors, and I'll talk about that in a minute.
But like, I shouldn't have to put exactly what I'm doing.
Right.
I know that's the law, but like,
but
fuck
also
you.
It's this specific industry. They specifically have to register.
Oh,
yeah. So they require that all employees use condoms, even for oral sex, which I said last week and you were horrified.
I still am.
And they also get tested for STIs every week.
I love that.
Yeah. And also they get tested separately for HIV every month.
Ooh, okay.
And last week, I think I said 75% of prostitution in Nevada is illegal, but it turns out I was wrong. It's actually 90%.
Whoa.
Yeah. So only 10% of, you know, sex work, I guess, of that kind takes place in these legal brothels. The rest happens mostly in Las Vegas, just like out and about.
And it's like mostly the cops purchasing it.
Oh, probably.
I'm just saying a cab.
Oh, Lord. But like I mentioned in the last episode, also, a lot of sex workers really don't want prostitution to be legalized. They want it to be decriminalized. And that would really give them more autonomy and control over their working conditions, because right now in these Nevada brothels, like, the working conditions for a lot of people are not great.
I'm not surprised that they don't take care of women that well.
Yeah, not surprising. Most of the owners are men, like sexist, shitty men. There are a few men that own like several brothels.
Oh, and I know they have like spurs on their cowboy boots.
You know they do.
Gross. And they always have a gun on their hip.
Always. And they probably have mud flaps on their truck that have like naked women on them.
Oh, and the ball sack that hangs down from the tailgate.
Oh, yeah, for mm-hmm. sure.
Ball sack for show.
That's them. So they own these brothels. There are some women that own them too, which is pretty cool, I guess. But
are they shitty or?
I don't know.
Okay.
Here are some issues that have come up over the years in these brothels. I got this info from various sources that you can check out in the episode guide. So I'm not claiming like all of these things are true for all brothels in Nevada, obviously. So obviously it varies from place to place, but these are some things that have happened.
Okay.
All right. So some have been busted employing underage girls.
Shock.
Ugh, I know. And in most places, you actually have to be 21 to work there, but a couple of counties is 18.
I wonder how like deeply they verify identity.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
Because like in SVU, they're always just like, hey, she told me she was 18. She gave me a license.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, bitch, that was a fake ID. Did you like run it through anything?
Yeah. I mean, I guess they have to like, you know, they're.
Oh, like registered and licensed. Yeah. So they must have to give. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
But still, you could use fake documentation.
Right.
And I'm assuming it's probably not a thing where like 16-year-olds are going and being like, I want to do this. It's probably like their fucking pimps and sex traffickers are making fake IDs for them.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. So also a brothel owner was arrested for child pornography. Another one was arrested for bribing the local law enforcement.
Mm.
So, you know, not great.
Cool, 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 cool.
And when you think about it, like there aren't that many brothels. What did I say? There's 20 right now.
Yeah.
And this is over time. So there were more in the past, obviously. But
oh, there were 35.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So not a great track record.
Mm-mm.
There is a lot of abuse, both physical. I said both physical, verbal, and sexual, but all three.
Math. Shauna knows math.
Physical, verbal, and sexual. So some places women are treated really poorly.
I just like, fuck everyone.
Yeah. So one brothel was actually shut down in 2003 due to a rodent infestation and a lack of clean drinking water.
Okay, that's disgusting. But also I'm like, how many complaints have you ignored that are like women are abused and like, and this is the one you're gonna shut down because yeah. of like the rodents,
I guess, because you can see it,
right? And it's like, I appreciate that, but also the other stuff too.
Yeah, it's all fucked up,
but that is fucking gross. Oh, that is sad,
right?
That's sad.
Yeah. So one time in the 1970s, a sheriff's wife used Molotov cocktails to firebomb a brothel at 6 a.m
because her husband be fucking,
probably.
Yeah.
No one was hurt, but she was arrested and charged with arson.
I do love a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah, she made them in like Folgers cans.
No. Oh, then, girl.
I know.
Come on. Look it up on Etsy.
It was the 70s.
Yeah, that's true.
So women at the brothels work often like 12 to 14 hour shifts. They're basically on call when they're there. They're there for weeks at a time. They'll kind of like cycle out women.
Oh, God. It's like working at a fire station.
I guess. I don't know what that's like. But
oh, yeah. I work there.
So. Oh, okay. Taylor's a firefighter now.
Shh, don't tell.
We don't want the fire to find out. It might run away.
Don't tell the fire.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Women work really long shifts. They have to follow a bunch of insane rules. And they also can get fined for really ridiculous shit. Like, okay, so when a customer comes at most places.
Sorry. They all high five.
Oh, my God.
They ring a bell. Boom, boom, bing, bing.
When a customer arrives and knocks on the door. First of all, at a lot of places, the women are not allowed to answer the door.
Oh.
They have to line up and, you know, show the merchandise.
Oh, right. Like they walk in and get to choose which.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So how it works is basically the customer will come in. They'll look at the women lined up and they'll pick one usually and have her give them a tour. And that's not anything sexual. They're really just walking them around, showing them the place. There's usually like a bar. There might be a little strip area.
Okay.
And then if the person wants to, they can go talk to someone else. And if you want to actually bang anyone or do anything sexual, you go with them to their private room and you discuss there. Like, you don't discuss it anywhere else, like in the lobby or anything.
Wait, you're saying if you want to. So, like, can people go to a brothel and just, like, hang out and not fuck?
Yeah, they can hang out at the bar.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, if you're going, it's in the middle of nowhere, you're probably going to get laid.
Right.
But I think theoretically you could go in, get a drink.
Like, if some friends go and a couple want to fuck and a couple just want to hang, it's not like they can't.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I did not realize that.
It probably varies from place to place. But
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so they'll get a tour. If they want to talk to someone else, they'll go and they'll like have these different negotiations with these women in their rooms. And the women, like I said, are all independent contractors, so they set their own rates usually. Mm. However, the brothel does take a cut of that money. Of course.
Yeah. Do they have like security and like, I don't know.
Good question. I actually didn't see anything about that, but I would assume, I don't know. They probably have just have guns.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
So I think I mentioned a minute ago that they can be fined for stupid shit. So
yeah.
If they're a customer arrives and if they're late to the lineup, they can be fined.
Even if they're already like entertaining?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I was like, fuck you, system. You can't trust the system, man.
Welcome to the real world, jackass. If you get that, I'm sorry.
Also, you're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah, so I was talking about horrible, abusive women.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
So some women are forbidden to get their own doctors, and they're basically forced to use the doctors provided by the brothel, and they have to pay for them at whatever rate they decide to charge.
What?
Yeah.
What kind of fucking weird ass rule started that? Like, what?
Capitalism, baby.
Ew.
And they also have to pay fees just to live at the brothel. And they're not given like another option. You know, it's like they have to live there.
It's not like you can rent your own place or you can stay here.
Right.
It's like you live here now, but you also have to pay us.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like I said, women are kind of cycled out. Like they'll have tours, basically. Mm-hmm. And some places when the women are not working, they are not even allowed to be in the county.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
They don't want them like fraternizing with the locals. They don't want them going to bars and like, it's really fucked up.
Oh, okay. So like, because then maybe someone that they have slept with would see them and like personally hire them and take away business from the brothel.
That's my guess.
Okay. But where are they supposed to like have an apartment 4 months out of the year or whatever?
I guess.
What the hell? Airbnb didn't exist then.
When?
Or now. I mean, it does now. I still was thinking of the 70s.
Yeah. But I mean, really, like, this is all fucked up.
Yeah.
So at some locations, women are restricted from leaving the premises after 5 p.m. So they're basically, like, held captive there.
Ew.
And yeah. And others are banned from having cars. It's really, like, fucked up in a lot of places.
What? What?
And again, I'm not saying every single one of them is like this, but this is very common. And there was, like, this woman did research. I didn't write down her name, but she did research in, I want to say like the 90s or the early 2000s. And she spoke to like 45 sex workers at these brothels. Mm. And 80% of them were like, fuck this. I hate this.
Oh, no. So do you know anything? I might be asking you early. If like women can just get out, can they just be like, I quit? Or
they're independent contractors. So I imagine they can.
Yeah.
But who knows how it actually is in practice.
Right. Like if they really are like threatened to stay or, you know, whatever the fuck.
Yeah. And for all of those reasons, a lot of people call this like legalized slavery, which I don't necessarily agree with, but it's very, very poor, terrible working conditions.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't say. Yeah, it's not the same, but it's not good.
Not good. But let's flip the switch a little and end on a less depressing note because I have some fun shit.
Yay!
I decided to sandwich the bad in between like the merch and this stuff.
Oh my God, I love the merch.
Ugh.
Customers always come first.
Always. Unless they don't want to, I guess.
Yeah, they might hold on to that. They might be like a blue ball fanatic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're going to talk about some services in a minute.
Ooh, okay. Yes, the room service menu.
Ooh, but first, the top three brothel names, in my opinion, that are in Nevada. Number one, we have Chicken Ranch.
What I want you to do while you're saying this is picture these as racehorse names.
Ooh, I love that. Okay, Chicken Ranch.
All right, Chicken Ranch is up first in line.
Honestly, that sounds like something you'd get at Zaxby's, but...
Oh my God, the Chicken Ranch, dude. Yeah.
The Chicken Ranch salad.
Ew, I hate a salad. Guys, when I worked at Zaxby's, I'd be like, the Asian sensation salad. It's just stop.
If you are not from the South, Zaxby's is like a chicken fast food restaurant. And Taylor actually would get in trouble at work for not saying salad.
And I was like, I'll literally fucking stand here and get fired in front of everybody before I say salad.
Imagine getting fired for saying salad.
I bet they've done it.
Probably.
I just worked too much and they couldn't afford to lose me.
That's true. So there's Chicken Ranch.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the Chicken Ranch.
Next up, this is one that's not around anymore, but it's Lazy Bee Ranch.
The Lazy Bee, like lazy bitch, or like just a bzzz bee?
Just a capital B. So I don't know what it stands for, but I'm a lazy bee, so...
I'm also lazy bee. Imagine if that was a horse. The lazy bee is up to the plate.
The plate.
I don't know why the horses are batting.
They're playing baseball now.
They are.
And then my third favorite is it's called Alien Cat House.
Oh, that horse is winning.
Winning for sure. Cat house is actually a synonym for brothel, which I didn't realize. And I wonder if it's like cat house,
meow. She's a cat house.
It's like, oh my god.
It took her a second, but I did a little disco
move.
You need to
put the real song in there so people understand.
She's a cat house. I will.
Speaking of cat houses and other synonyms for brothels, I just want to throw a few of my favorites at you.
Okay, we're playing baseball with the horses. I'm ready to catch.
Yeah, ready for this. It's going to be fast pitch. We've got Bordello.
Wow.
We've got House of Ill Repute.
Yes. Sign me up.
That's where we live. We live in a house of ill repute.
That's what the sorting hat gave me.
We've got Body House.
Body?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stew. Yes, like the food, like stew.
Okay.
Den of Iniquity, and iniquity means immoral behavior.
Yeah, sign me up. That one too.
That one sounds hot. Welcome to the Den of Iniquity. And many more. So those are just my favorites.
Many more. That's my favorite one.
Hilarious. Real quick, let's look at some photos of brothels so you can get... They're very different. A lot of them are like these little shitty ranch houses. Mm. But there are some more upscale ones. So I'm just going to show you a couple pictures to get the feel for it.
First, I need to tell you what I'm picturing.
Okay.
My typical brothel.
Oh, okay. The ones you go to that you frequent.
The ones I frequent are, they're like normally two story or one story ranch houses. You know what I'm saying?
Chicken ranch. Yeah.
Chicken ranch houses. And it's like a lot of neon pink. There's a lot of beads hanging in the doorways, like a lot of, like stuff you walk through.
Like stuff that a 12-year-old would think is sexy, but yes. Isn't sexy.
Yes. And then also a lot of smoke in the air because people are smoking. They don't give a shit.
Yeah. And if they're not smoking, there's definitely like incense.
Yes. Or like hookah maybe.
Yeah.
Something. So just a lot of neon pink is what I see.
You're not far off.
Okay.
So let's take a look.
Let's do it. Oh, man. That, first of all, is a lot of pink.
So as you can see, I included the Chicken Ranch.
Welcome to the Chicken Ranch. It really is like a little barn, and it's a chicken ranch.
And there are women painted on the outside of it.
Oh, they're painted. My eyes are bad. I thought those were just women.
They're painted on the side of the building.
Okay, well, they're pretty. I like the girl's dress on the left.
Cute.
And yeah, that's crazy. So love that.
And I didn't really include a picture of like the surroundings, but these all are in the middle of like dirt and sand.
Okay. So then you have in the middle of sand, the Moonlight Bunny Ranch.
Yeah. And that's actually one of the more famous brothels. There's a documentary about it, I think on Netflix. I did not watch it, but.
Well, these hookers are for Hillary.
Yeah. They literally, all these women are standing outside.
Holding signs, like, you know, each of them have a letter and they spell out hookers for, obviously, the letter four,
you know,
fucking can't, the number four, and then Hillary, as in Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yeah, they like to never mind.
They like to Rodham and Clinton.
That's what I was gonna say, but it didn't.
Can you find my Clint on?
Oh my god,
just kidding.
Yeah, so that's not a great picture of really the building, but I just thought it was a cool vibe.
It is a vibe. And then you have Alien Shack House.
Cat House.
Cat House. My eyes are so blurry.
I literally just told you about this.
I know, and I made up a whole song. The Alien Cat House Brothel. Meow.
And this one's just like a sign, but it's the hot pink neon vibes.
And it's definitely like, you guys know this alien font, and it's lime green. You know it.
Yeah, it's exactly what you're picturing.
Yep, you're right. You're correct.
So this is just like a little bit of a variety, you know, a smattering of brothels, if you will.
I love a smattering of brothels. I love a charcuterie board. I love a spinach artichoke dip.
Taylor's just throwing things out there that she loves.
Those all sound like appetizers. A smattering of brothels.
A smattering of brothels. Oh my God, with a side of artichoke dip.
Mmm.
Oh boy. All right. So finally, I want to talk about services.
Okay.
This is how a brothel called Mona's Ranch, which is owned by the same company as like the diddling one, I think.
Yes.
This is how they describe one of their services, which is called the Two Girl Party.
Oh, okay. Okay.
If you are a fan of action movies, then you would have wondered how the hero enjoys sex with beautiful women and gets pampered by them. It is the time when you had also imagined to have such kind of incident happen in your life. We at the Mona's Ranch offer you an opportunity to enjoy the fun of having sex with two girls at the same time and being played by them like a rolling ball from one corner to the other. Depending on your choice, you can either choose two girls of the same racism or a different race.
No, it says racism.
It says racism.
No.
And satisfy your fantasy for sex to its fullest fun according to your wish.
I heard no word after racism.
I think English is the second language of whoever was writing this.
They need to hire someone else to edit.
Get a copywriter, please.
What the fuck? Hire Shauna. I cannot.
So, yeah, they're saying that they can roll you between the corners like a ball. I don't know what that means.
My response to them is this.
Oh, that was good. Some celery for your listening pleasure.
Some ASMR. That was fucking wild. I don't.
Yeah. So, you know, they can either be the same racism or different races. Oh, my God.
Like, what the fuck?
And I know that's not what they mean, but come on. Proofread. And then finally, to illustrate just a few more services, I wanted to show some beautiful art from Sherry's Ranch, one of the more upscale brothels in the state. And these are illustrations of some of the services they provide. And they have more of these on their website, so I highly recommend you check them out.
Is this like how you order it? Do you point to like a photo? Is it like...
I think it's just like so you can prepare ahead of time and get an idea of like what you might be in for.
Ooh, it's like when a menu has photos and yeah. That's the best. I'm like, I fucking appreciate you.
Even though a lot of the time they're like stock photos.
I know, when like... I just... Yeah.
Well, these aren't photos. They're illustrations, so...
Oh, right. Hieroglyphics?
Please.
Of sorts? Whoa. Wait, whoa.
They're all like this. Please describe them for the audience.
Okay, so Shauna grabbed three for us, and they were three solid choices. First of all, they're all like black and white kind of little sketches of stick people-ish. But
like someone hand-drew these.
Oh, hand-drawn. Someone was hired for this, or someone on the team specifically was chosen for this.
They're like... Crystal was like, you know, I've always wanted to be an illustrator, but being a sex worker was my second choice, so I can do both here.
Yeah, and Sherry's like, girl, you're up to bat. We're still playing
with
baseball.
The horses.
You're up right after Cat McLeod or whoever it was.
Oh, God. But yeah, so.
Okay, so number one, we have role playing, and it shows a guy, a stick figure man in like a knight helmet with a sword, standing 1 foot Captain Morgan style upon a dragon's back.
The dragon's like dead or passed out, probably.
It's just taking a nap. It's fine. Sure. It wasn't injured. And then a female bride behind him clutching her chest.
A damsel in distress.
Not anymore. Okay, then you have one of my favorites, the classic blowjob.
Classic.
It shows a man sitting towards you, full spread eagle.
Would we call him a man or would we call him a Neanderthal?
Neanderthal is right. He is scruffy. He's holding a literal giant turkey leg or a baton or what?
I think it's a club.
A club.
A bat for playing baseball.
A bat. It's a baseball bat. It's just really short and chode like. And then you have this hot ass chick sucking the D.
And he's wearing like they're cave people.
He's in leopard print.
She's in like tiger print, zebra print, whatever that is.
Yeah. So that's that. And then you have number three, shower party, which is just like the others, hot pink background, two folks in a shower, one male, one female. There's music notes, and it looks as if the male is hands on the wall.
Yeah, she's like rubbing something on his back. Like, oh, I think she's washing
she's
him.
She's washing. Let me,
it's a
hold
loofah,
on.
Maybe?
Let me adjust my eyes by leaning in.
Wait.
Oh, no, what?
It's so much fucking worse than I thought. Okay, they're wearing birthday hats.
Because it's a party.
They're wearing birthday hats. They have music notes above them. Her eyes are full hearts. They're both little tiny hearts. He has one tiny dot of an eye and the largest hoop smile. It's so scary.
He's having the time of his life.
And she's washing his back with like a large sponge.
Yeah.
Like one of the sponges in Amelia Bedelia.
Sure.
Where she makes a sponge cake and she uses an actual big sponge.
Oh my God. I remember Amelia Bedelia, but I don't remember that. But
it's a good one.
Yeah. So there are many more where these came from. So honestly, fucking check it out. It's hilarious.
I mean, let's post one a day until we die.
I love it. Ooh. Okay. So those are just some services. You can also get at some places like a boyfriend girlfriend service. You can go like cuddle and watch a movie and pretend you're dating.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's not all just like hardcore sex stuff. Some of it's more like let's snuggle and make love.
Yeah
And that's pretty much it. I just want to say before we end that we did cover a murder at a brothel in episode 12.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out if you can't get enough of these houses of ill repute.
Was that Bessie Jones?
Yeah, Madam Bessie Jones.
Damn.
From Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania? She fucking grinded, let me tell you.
She did.
She was a badass.
So those are brothels in Nevada. If you're ever there, if you've checked them out, I want to know about them. I don't want to know the details of your sex life.
I do.
Send us your sex life.
I want to know.
Send us illustrations.
Like, just draw it for us. Don't even give us words.
Yeah, just demonstrate through interpretive dance.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so that's it for me.
Well, that was wild. That was a journey I didn't expect to go on tonight.
Yeah, and like I said, there's so much more info out there. So like, if you're interested in this, go. Look, Google thinks I'm a perv for sure, but that's okay.
Before this episode, to be honest.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break and then Taylor's going to come back and tell us her story.
I'm going to eat some more of my meat and then here we go.
Here we go.
And goodbye for now.
For 30 seconds.
Goodbye for 47 seconds.
And we're back.
Back, 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 back.
Yeah. Hi. So, sorry.
Hey. Hi. Do you want to know something?
I do.
I'm going to tell you about something I'm scared of.
Oh. Making me nervous.
I know. That's my goal. So today on our Nevada detour, I'm facing my nightmare trauma.
Okay, wait. Let me try to think about what this might be.
Want to guess?
I don't know. I really don't know.
What's something I have nightmares about at least twice a week? You know, dude.
Like crashing?
Plane crash!
Oh my God. This is also my most frequent recurring nightmare too.
It's not good. So yeah, I use the normal sources like, you know, Wikipedia and other stuff. But I did want to specifically shout out one dude named, I typed, auto-corrected a thing. His name is Mike McComb. My notes say Mice McComb. I'm pretty sure it was Mike. Okay. So,
well, if it's Mice, I respect that, too.
So someone either named Mice or Mike McComb is an aviation fanatic and actually went to the crash site that I'm going to tell you about himself in like the 80s when it was still pretty untraveled.
Okay. You love plane crashes. I know you hate them, but you've like this is like your third plane. Well, second plane crash. I
have like a sick addiction because I have a plane crash nightmare once a week minimum that I fully remember, and they're all different kinds. I might be in the plane. I might be in the airport. I might be on the ground and it's coming at me toward my face. I might be on the ground and it's going toward a city that I can see far away. It's like fucked up.
Yeah, I have that too. I'm rarely on the plane. It's usually like coming towards me or coming towards a city. Or one time I was on the moon and like a rocket ship was coming. It was just like, I have a lot of dreams about the world, like apocalypse situations.
And I'm like, that's what I want in real life. So stop taunting me in my dreams.
It's scary when it's a dream, but if it was real life, we'd all just die. So we'd be fine.
Right. It would just be over. Like, that's it.
Yeah. And if there's an afterlife, we'd go there and
we'll figure it out.
Grind on Satan.
Grind on Satan. Hey. Okay. So Mice McComb. Oh, yeah. His website.
lostflights.com. He has a lot of stuff about this, different plane crashes. If you like plane crashes, like myself.
If you like plane crashes.
If you're into plane crashes like me.
If you loved Hatchet.
Oh my God, Hatchet. You know, when the boy eats a soccer team. Holy shit.
What episode was it that we covered the other plane crash? Do you remember? It was not that long ago.
No, I don't. It was...
It might have been the Oregon detour.
Oregon was Familis. Oh, that was my main one. No, I thought... I don't know. You guys, just like look it up. So this story takes place on January 16th of 1942.
Okay. So back in World War II times.
Yes. Okay. That's a big factor here. So unlike commercial flights today, Transcontinental and Western Air, that was like a big plane company.
An airline.
A big airline, TWA. So you might hear me say TWA. That's it.
Okay.
So TWA Flight 3 was scheduled to make several stops.
I'm sorry, Flight 3. They're like, they have like five flights total.
I know. It's like literally Flight 1, 2, 3. Well, this is crazy. So they were meant to leave from New York City with the ultimate destination of Burbank, California, but they had like three or four stops planned along the way.
Is that because planes couldn't go that far?
They could go that far, but they had stuff like they had to drop off cargo here and like pick up passengers here. So there were a few different stops scheduled. And this plane was a Douglas DC-3. And since I know I don't know jack shit about planes, and I know you don't know jack shit about planes.
Grandpa knows about planes.
Yeah. And I really hope he's never going to listen to this. Grandpa, if you're here, please remove yourself.
Please.
Also love you. But I'll tell you about this plane. So it is a double engine propeller driven airliner, which was largely used in World War II.
The fact, wait, so are you telling me there are planes with just one engine?
Yes.
So like...
Like an engine gives out, you're gone. It's like if you have one kidney and it gives out, bye.
I think you can just have one kidney.
Yeah. And if it gives out, you're fucked.
Okay. Like, I misunderstood you. Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's like that. Oh God, no, that's not okay.
Yeah. If you want to pull up the photos, you can just kind of see what this plane was like. And it is a larger, improved 14-bed sleeper version of the previous DC-2.
Oh, wait. Okay, this actually looks much more like a plane than I expected.
Well, I mean, what do you think it was going to be?
No, I thought it was going to be some, like, rickety little motherfucker. And, like, it actually looks pretty solid.
It's pretty solid. No, yeah. It's like a World War II plane. They used it to fly soldiers and people, and they could put cargo on it. And
soldiers and people.
They're different.
They're civilians.
Yes, civilians. You know. So there's the plane.
Reminder, these are all on our website, badtrippod.com, and our Instagram at badtrippod.
Si, senor. Senora.
Senorita.
Senorita.
When he calls me senorita.
No. Oh my God. Okay. So one stop the plane made the morning of departure was Indianapolis, Indiana. And here a few passengers hopped on, including actress Carol Lombard, her mother Elizabeth Peters, and MGM studio agent Otto Winkler.
Otto Winkler?
Yeah.
That's a cute name.
Yeah. So Lombard and her peeps had just finished a cross-country trip selling $2 million worth of war bonds to support the war efforts.
Oh, okay. So that's some like original celebrity activism.
It is. So I'll get into it in a second, but just a few more details first. These three were supposed to travel home back to California from the war bonds tour by train, but Lombard wanted to get home ASAP. So Winkler found this like last minute flight for them, and that was flight 3.
Okay.
So it's just like they weren't supposed to be on this flight.
It was very opportunistic.
Yes, exactly. Carol Lombard was a famous actress from the 1920s to 1940s. She was ranked 23rd on the American Film Institute's list of the greatest female stars of classic Hollywood cinema. You might know, this might like ring a bell to you.
Okay.
She was married to Clark Gable. Who is that super famous actor? He was in Gone with the Wind.
Wait, isn't that's the actor's name?
Clark Gable, yeah.
Oh, I thought that was the character's name. He was like the hot guy she's with at the end or whatever.
He's like, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. I believe so.
But okay. What's the character's name? Whatever, it doesn't matter.
And then also he was in a movie called It Happened One Night, which I'm not really aware of that, but it's another really famous one.
Sounds vaguely familiar. Okay, yeah. So she was married to him and she was also a famous actor.
Yes. So the couple was a huge deal in Hollywood and like across America in general. He's been married actually a bunch of times, and since I think maybe like 4 or 5 total.
Damn.
I think, and this is just like me remembering seeing Wikipedia, so I could be wrong. I apologize. But I think it was like 2 before her and maybe 2 after her also.
So she dies. Okay.
I mean, she's on this flight and it's a plane crash. So, okay. So if you want to look at photos real quick, you can just see. I just put photos of them so you could have an idea. You'll recognize him for sure.
He's like a zaddy. Let's be real.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, even with that creepy little mustache.
No, it's sexy. And these photos, I think, are both in 1940. So like 2 years before this incident.
OK, so she's quite a bit younger than him, it seems like.
Yeah, I think she is a bit younger.
She's absolutely gorgeous. She's like got that vibe of the time with like the little flippy ends on her hair, like curly hair. I mean, she's a white lady, obviously, because people were extra racist back yeah. then. She has super thin eyebrows. It's just like the vibe of the time. She's wearing a little crop top. She looks super cute.
Yes, it's very cute. They're like a cute couple. They were both like thriving in Hollywood and the black and white film scene.
Honestly, like, I know this is the stupidest thing I could say, but the fact that life was in color back then still confuses me because I've never seen it in color.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, life is in color.
I know. That's what I just said.
You said you've never seen it in color?
I mean, back then, like, if I see movies from that time, they're obviously all black and white. So in my mind, things back then were black and white.
I see. I was like, Shauna, is your eyesight okay?
It's like the movie Pleasantville.
Oh, whatever, I fucking love that movie.
Where they literally are in black and white until, like, the people come and start fucking it up.
Yeah, and Wizard of Oz, when, like, they were the first ones to do it and it blew people's minds in theater. Yeah, like,
Technicolor or whatever it was.
Oh, my God, it's so crazy. Oh, wow. Okay, so back to this crash. Oh. So we're in Indiana. People get on board and Flight 3 departs at 5:27 a.m. heading for St. Louis so they could load up some more cargo. So here the flight was delayed almost 2 hours due to early morning fog that reduces visibility. And normally visibility, like the minimum required is 3.11 miles or 5 kilometers. And this morning, the reason they delayed it is because it was less than 1/4 of a mile.
Okay, so you could like crash into something real quick.
Real fucking quick. So, you know, they were like, let's play it safe, hang out a bit. At 9:03 a.m., the fog lifted and the flight continued on its path.
Okay, so sorry, are they in St. Louis at this point or are they still in Indianapolis?
St. Louis.
Okay.
So they got from Indianapolis to St. Louis, then they landed, flight was delayed.
Okay, and now they're headed on their way to the next destination.
Yep, now they're leaving St. Louis to go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. By the time Flight 3 reached Albuquerque, it was more than 3 hours behind. Both passengers and cargo had to be removed from the plane in order to make room for 15 military pilots and crew who had wartime travel priority. So basically, because it was World War II, if like people were trying to get home to see their families, they were going to get priority on the flights.
That seems fair.
Fucking fair. It's like you can't even like call me on my cell phone. What the fuck?
No. Yeah. But then the famous actors are like, how dare you?
Oh, girl, you wait. You wait. So this meant that Carol Lombard, her mom, and Winkler were all bumped off their ride home. Lombard, though, was like kind of a twat. Sorry.
Is she related to us, by the way?
She's not. No, no, no.
Okay.
But yeah, she demanded that they be able to stay aboard the flight because she was doing work related to the war efforts, giving them priority as well.
So because she was done selling bonds to raise money for the war, that somehow... Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't exactly know what war bonds were. Like, I understood kind of what the situation was, but I was like, I don't really know what they are.
I don't understand what bonds are, period.
Me either. But I looked them up to hopefully maybe help a little. So war bonds, according to Wikipedia, are debt securities issued by a government to finance military operations and other expenditures. So like, it's basically people buying bonds in the war because they like suck you in by being like, you need to be patriotic. You need to support your country. Like, they basically extort people.
Like, bitch, I pay taxes.
Right. But people fell for this shit because they were like, my son is going off to war. And it's, you know, it's different war than we deal with today.
That's
so
true. Yeah.
It's like crazy. But
wait. But so do they ever get their money back? Is it like once the war's over, they're given... Like, what's the point of a bond?
I don't think so. Like, normally in a bond, you have like a return, and this is just like giving money.
That sounds like some bullshit to me. Okay.
Yeah. So I could be wrong, but as far as I like understood, they basically appeal to your conscience and are like, you need to give us money if you give a shit about people dying, like your loved ones dying.
That's rude as fuck, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great. So the flight attendant, or not attendant, but the like woman working at the gate of the flight, she was the one that had to deal with Carol when she put up a fit and was like, I need to be on this plane.
Carol or Karen?
Karen. Karen. And she's like, yeah, I'm not dealing with this. So you can just get the fuck on the plane. Like, I don't care.
Yikes. And that was her last mistake.
Yeah, it was. So other people, other passengers were asked to get off, such as violinist Joseph Zagetti. Wait, Spaghetti. I don't know how to say it, but he seems famous. So I was like, let me mention it. I don't know if anyone likes the violin.
I guess if he got to stay on over this famous actress, like he must have been famous too.
He didn't. He got kicked off. That's what I'm saying.
But I mean before, like she insisted.
Right, right, right. Another civilian passenger was Lois Hamilton. And I'm not exactly sure who she was, but she was there. At the stop in Albuquerque, the original flight crew was replaced by a new crew. So in command of the rest of the journey was Captain Wayne Williams, co-pilot Morgan Gillette. And I was like, ooh, nice, a female. Turns out it was Morgan, a male.
Oh, yeah.
Bummer.
Unisex name.
Yeah. And air hostess Alice Goetz.
Is that like a flight attendant?
Yep. That's like they had one and it was Alice. Under normal conditions, the plan would have been to travel directly from New Mexico to its final stop in California. But because of the weight of the extra passengers...
Mm-hmm. What? Okay. Okay. That must have been a tiny ass plane because like...
I mean, it's like a 14 sleeper plane. So okay. They have 15 military people, like three crew members and what, three or four civilian passengers.
Oh.
And then they had loaded up a bunch of extra, I think it was like mail cargo. So they had that. And then on top of strong headwinds, which apparently are something to do with flying that make it, you know, harder to control the plane. I guess it's winds probably coming at you from like a different direction.
Yeah.
That's my guess. So
you're fighting the current, but it's wind.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I'm assuming it is. All these things were like going against them.
Mm-hmm. But that's just so crazy to me that I'm like, this woman probably weighs like 100 pounds. You know what I mean? And like that little weight plus two other people, obviously, like, yeah, can make such a difference.
And
that's
their luggage.
Wild. Yeah.
And yeah. So it's really fucking crazy. So because of this, all this like extra weight in the winds and shit required an en route. That's en route.
French. We're French.
We're French. Yeah. So they had to stop for fuel. And they made this stop in Las Vegas, Nevada, baby.
Okay, now we're here.
And now look at the photos, please. I just want you to get an idea of... This is Carol on her little War Bonds tour and how they sold it, some of their promotions and stuff like that.
This is propaganda.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yo, it's whack to me how we can like show propaganda from like... Nazi Germany and like Russia during the Cold War. We're like, look at this shit. This is bad. And it's like, well, we did the same fucking thing.
Yeah. And they just are like, well, that's patriotism. And yeah. It's like, but
it's patriotism when we do it.
Yeah. But when everyone else does it, it's wrong. Yeah. I mean, guess what?
Look, it's all wrong. I'm not supporting the Nazis, no. Obviously.
But just like, we fucking suck too.
Yeah, exactly. What's this? Okay. So now there's a little card. What is this card situation?
I believe this is something that was just given out if you've donated, if you, you know, threw in some war bonds.
Okay. So I'm going to read it. It says, thank you for joining with me in this vital crusade to make America strong. Make
America great. I was going to say to Trump right now.
My sincere good wishes go with this receipt, which shows you have purchased from me a United States defense bond. First war rally in the nation, Indianapolis, Indiana. January 15th, 1942. And then there's this picture of her like looking longingly into the distance. It's like weirdly, it's weird.
And she's sorry, but she's wrapped in fur and diamonds and like men are in fucking trench warfare and getting blown to smithereens.
This is why I fucking hate when celebrities will share like GoFundMe and I'm like, you could pay like the amount of one bag that you own and save this person's life and you're trying to get your broke ass fans to contribute. Fuck you.
Like, fuck you. Just give $1 million. It doesn't mean anything to you. Okay, I have to delete that.
You have to delete them. Taylor just said something that she shouldn't have said, so she called out someone on a show or movie that she has worked on or does work on.
So, beep. Anyways, weird receipt. Save the receipt. Show me the receipts.
I imagine, like, if you have one of those today, it's probably worth a shit ton of money. So check your grandparents' drawers or whatever.
Ooh, yeah. Looking like their letterboxes and shit. Also,
what
you might
cry. What the fuck is a letterbox?
Like
a mailbox?
No. I meant like grandmas that like save cards and put all their letters in like a box, nice. Like a shoebox.
I have mine in a folder.
Yeah, mine are like in mom and dad's attic somewhere.
Yeah.
And then finally, right now, I'm going to show you just the three mains that were, you know, kind of like in charge of the flight.
Okay. So Captain Williams, co-pilot Gillette, and air hostess Getz. They're all, I mean, they all look exactly like I would imagine them to look. They're like white people in the 40s.
Yep.
They have hats on. Well, Gillette doesn't, but.
Yeah, and it makes me sad because I think Getz was like 25 or something.
Oh, wow. People looked so much older back then.
I know. She's so mature. I'm like, solid black and white photos. All right. So at 6:37 p.m., Flight 3 reached Vegas. They made this a quick stop just to fuel up and let the passengers stretch their legs for a sec. Well, Getz obviously did her job and topped off the two gallery containers with hot coffee.
Oh, so lovely of her.
A woman's work.
But women shouldn't walk.
Okay, so that was at 6:37. Now it's 7:07, so it was a 30-minute stop. The flight departed one last time from runway 34 and began its climbing left turn across the Las Vegas Valley.
So they're just hopping over to California. They're not going that far.
No, not at all. It's like from Vegas to Burbank, which I don't have miles or kilometers for you, but it's not far.
I mean, it's not more than a couple hundred, a few hundred miles.
Yeah. So on this particular night of January 16th, the sky was dark and moonless as the DC-3 leveled off at the cruising altitude of 8,000 feet. So that's like average. You get to 8,000 feet. It's kind of where you're cruising.
Okay. Is that like 2 miles in the air-ish? Why would you know that? Why would I know that?
I'm like, my eyes just went crossed. Another thing causing pitch blackness was the government's bright idea.
She just aggressively winked. It was like her eye was aggressively twitching.
It was their bright idea to black out the lighted airway beacons due to wartime national security threats.
I mean, that sounds dumb as fuck.
How about domestic flight threats?
Come on. Okay, like maybe like block out your cities at like midnight or some shit, I guess. That's what London had to do, but other cities, obviously, but
to literally like turn off the thing that guides the planes into not danger.
The planes with soldiers on them.
Right. Like, okay. So whatever the case was in the cockpit.
Oh, my God. The cockpit.
My favorite game at a slumber party.
Oh, no.
Okay. So
don't send us your cockpits, please.
I wasn't even thinking it like a picture.
Oh, what were you thinking?
Like a picking it. Like pick. Like I'm picking it out of a lineup.
Like at a brothel. You're doing a cock pick.
I'm always doing a cock lineup. Yeah, exactly.
And then you're taking a cock pick for a souvenir.
Yes, and I'm sending it straight to you.
And then you're going in the cock pick to get home.
To fly home. So back to the cock pick. Oh, man. Rewind.
This is why we have a disclaimer. If you're upset with us, fuck off.
Fuck off. Oh, man. All right. Whatever the case was in the cockpit that night, neither Captain Williams or co-pilot Gillette noticed the selected course was sending them straight into the snow-capped 8,500-foot Potosi Mountain.
How the fuck would you know? There's no fucking lights.
Well, because you're supposed to have
a radar or whatever.
Yeah, you have like machinery to, you know, navigate that shit. And because they were surrounded by pitch blackness, they literally didn't see the mountain coming.
Fuck. And you said the visibility was really bad?
It was bad because it was pitch black because the moon wasn't out and all those lights had been shut off. So it was totally black.
I mean, like, what the fuck do you expect? Obviously, someone's going to hit something.
I can't believe people want to be pilots and like want that feeling of, oh, ew, I'm literally going to throw up. I can't.
It's also crazy that like you can just be a pilot. You just take classes.
Right. And then you're a pilot. Like, fuck.
Like you can't fly for like American Airlines necessarily if you just like take a couple classes, but you could like have a little plane.
Which is almost scarier. I mean, not really, but yeah. So 15 minutes after the plane took off, Flight 3, almost 7 miles off course,
crashed straight into a vertical cliff in the Spring Mountain Range at 7,770 feet, which was only about 80 feet below the top of the cliff.
Oh my God, which is, oh my God, that's like nothing.
Yeah, and all 22 passengers and crew members on board were killed instantly.
Holy, okay, well, I will say, at least mercifully, they like died quickly.
And they didn't know it was coming.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like Titanic vibes where you're like dangling off the end of a ship for 3 hours.
The scariest thing about a plane crash, like being in it, is the knowing that you're dropping through the sky.
The anticipation.
Mean, as my experience shows.
But in your dreams.
Honestly, yeah. Like it's the knowing that you're about, it's like you don't know you're about to slam and smush hard. Like
slam and smush hard at the brothel.
Or on the mountain.
Oh, God.
Lord. So,
I'm so sorry we're comparing sex to death.
I didn't. Shauna did. Okay, these recovery efforts, they were brutal because no helicopters could get to the crash site. It was super steep.
How did they know where they crashed? They have like radar, they could track them or something?
I don't really know. I guess...
I don't know what technology was like back then at all.
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about their technology, but I'm not sure exactly. I mean, maybe you could just see it, like maybe smoke, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
It didn't really say, so I'm just totally guessing here. But like I said, it was an extremely steep mountain. Human remains had to be tied up and like pulled up the mountain by rope and then taken down by horseback. So Cat House McDuff was like waiting to take bodies down.
Excuse me?
The horse.
Oh, okay.
Cat fly.
It couldn't play baseball that day. It was busy.
It was busy. The Civil Aeronautics Board conducted an accident investigation on the crash. Eyewitness and other evidence suggested that Flight 3 proceeded from its departure in Las Vegas in essentially a straight line. So like, whereas before I was like, you know, they started to climb and take a left turn across the valley. They didn't do that. They just... straight up fucking went straight.
And they weren't supposed to go straight?
They were not.
Oh.
Because they were in Vegas and going straight leads you to the mountain and not to Burbank.
Okay.
Well, let me show you this photo. And as you look at this photo, I'm going to tell you a little bit about it.
Okay.
Ooh, first, this isn't what I'm telling you about, but here's the mountain that they crashed into.
Okay, well, all things aside, that's a beautiful mountain.
I know. I wanted to get a good picture because I was like, it's sad that this happened, but it's gorgeous and it's nature and dope.
Giving me Lord of the Rings vibes, Hobbit vibes, you know.
The Shire.
My meat. My precious.
My precious meat.
My precious meat. Oh no, it's a diagram.
I understand I'm showing a diagram, but I'm going to make this real simple for you.
Okay, please, because there's too many lines for me.
I understand. It took me 76 minutes to figure it out. Okay, so basically... their plan was to refuel in Arizona somewhere.
Wait, they had to stop between Vegas and California?
No, so they weren't ever supposed to go to Vegas. Oh, it was supposed to be okay. Albuquerque to Arizona and not to Vegas. But I don't know why. They were like, well, we can just go to Vegas and then go.
Interesting. Okay.
So what it seemed like after this happened is that maybe they accidentally took the same flight path from Vegas and didn't adjust it from their Arizona.
Shit. Okay.
So basically that like lime green line from Boulder City is the same angle and direction that the red line is from where they left in Vegas. And it pretty much is like you superimpose that green line over their actual destination.
They basically went exactly parallel to where they would have gone if they hadn't gone off course the first time.
Yes. Like they didn't adjust the new route to the new route.
They didn't accommodate for being further north, you know? So they should have been going like southwest, but they were going northwest, which is what they would have done if they were in Boulder City.
Yeah.
But they were not in Boulder City.
So it's like someone didn't update the flight log or the flight course or whatever. It was supposed to be signed off by the captain and it never was. It was like a whole thing of like, ugh.
That's, oh man. I can totally see how that would happen, but like, holy fuck, that's a fucked up mistake.
Yeah. It was determined that the crew wasn't using radio navigation to follow the airway, which would have provided them the safe obstacle clearance. So they really should have been like talking to air traffic control.
Why wasn't traffic control talking to them?
Well, because they didn't have the equipment for it. So they should have had a certain like machinery in their thing. But instead, they just used a compass heading,
which is the cardinal direction in which the craft is to be steered. So that's all like flight talk, whatever the fuck. But basically, instead of, you know, having like a radar and someone being like, okay, plane, like you're coming up here, you need to make this degree turn, we know where you are. They just used their original written down flight path and then their compass, basically.
Yikes, that's very old school.
Yeah, so it really should have been updated at that point. And eventually the CAB, who did the investigation, gave the following probable cause statement. Quote, upon the basis of the foregoing findings and of the entire record available at this time, we find that the probable cause of the accident to aircraft NC 1946 on January 16th, 1942, was the failure of the captain after departure from Las Vegas to follow the proper course by making use of the navigational facilities available to him.
So he fucked up. When I fuck up, like, a marketing campaign doesn't do as well. Like, yeah. When he fucks up, people die. That's sad.
Yes. And the contributing factors that they posted were, one, the use of an erroneous compass course. Two, blackout of most of the beacons in the neighborhood of the accident made necessary by the war emergency. And failure of the pilot to comply with TWA's directive of July 17th, 1941, issued in accordance with the suggestion from the Administrator of Civil Aeronautics, requesting pilots to confine their flight movements to the actual on-course signals. So basically, no detail went into this. They just took off and did what they thought, not taking into account who they had. Like, why did you change flight? Why'd you go to Vegas instead of Arizona? You know, like, why did you do this? What the fuck? So there's a fun conspiracy that I can finish this story off with.
I love fun conspiracies about people's deaths.
Yes, right? Okay, so this is a conspiracy by Orson Welles. Do you recognize that name?
War of the Worlds guy?
Yes! Okay, so in like, maybe like 1938, 1939, I'm guessing around that time, he did like a radio broadcast basically acting as if the country or the world was being invaded by aliens, but people did not know it was fake.
They like said up front that it was a fictional story, but then people would tune in after and miss the beginning and were like, what the fuck?
Right. So they never, and it was like long. So people were freaking out. They thought it was really a whatever. So this guy got famous, and this was only a few years after that. He wrote a book called My Lunches with Orson, and in the book, he claims that he had been told by a security agent that this aircraft was shot down by Nazi agents who knew the route in advance. And I'm like, bro, like,
That sounds like some bullshit because this captain didn't even know the route in advance.
Right? Or I'm like, was that his lie? Bah, bah, bah. Like, he was like...
He was in on it and sacrificed himself.
He was like, why'd you switch to Vegas?
Yeah.
You
know, I mean,
allegedly. Not even.
No, that all sounds like some bullshit to me, but I do love a good conspiracy.
And you know, Orson Welles loves to play it up. So I'm like, he's not the most trustworthy.
He's like, actually, it was aliens.
Yeah, right. Well, he also claimed that the shooting was then hushed up to prevent vigilante action against Americans with German ancestry. So, you know. I'm like, you're not stopping hate crimes against Nazis, you stupid fuck.
Right. I mean, please, hate crime all the Nazis.
Right.
Not everyone with German ancestry is a Nazi, but like, hate crime Nazis.
Do it. So here's another kind of different angle of the impact of the crash.
Oh, shit. So they just crashed right into the side of that mountain.
It was right there.
Okay. Ooh, wow.
And I'm gonna have some crash site photos, just so you know. So be prepared for that.
Okay, it's black and white, so it's kind of honestly hard to tell what's going on, but it's just like an absolutely mangled plane, and I think that's a body on the left.
It is. It's an alive person doing a recovery, though.
Okay, just okay. So that makes me feel better, so not a dead body.
Yes, I didn't post any photos of like bodies being recovered. Anyone you see in the photos are alive.
But the plane is absolutely destroyed. It is like not even a shell of itself. Oh my God. Okay, there's another picture, and it's like flattened. It's like you took a soda can and stepped on it.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, they had a bunch of guys, just like laboring guys, go and recover and do all this stuff. I mean, it's just crazy. And fucking wild on top of it is Clark Gable, the actor, was supposed to go meet Carol on this tour she was doing, and then he ended up not being able to because of his movie. So it's a whole fucking chain of events. Like, he was supposed to be there, they were supposed to be on a train, then they were on this flight. Then they got off the flight. Then she demanded they get back on the flight. And then the flight fucking crashes. It just, that shit weirds me out.
The moral of the story, don't be a Karen.
Don't be a Karen. And finally, there is a plaque that basically just covers, you know, a little bit of what happened. And it's just in memory of everyone that died there.
And that's at the site of the crash?
Yeah.
And there's a little American flag.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. Well, RIP. That was sad as fuck.
Eek. But I have a plane crash trauma and I've never even been in a plane crash.
Yeah. Yet.
Honestly, like the fuck? Yeah, I really haven't. But I will.
Don't say that.
You just said it. You said it first.
Yeah, that's true. I cursed you. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Well, that was depressing and just weird. I'm like, why the fuck were you in Vegas? Someone wanted to gamble.
I know. He like actually was trying to meet up with someone in a brothel. And anyways, that's fun. So that was our detour. Next week, Shauna, you're giving us a main.
Yeah, I'm actually going to tell you two mini stories that are related to one another. So they're true crime adjacent.
Okay, and then I'm going to do my normal Mad Lib laws and pit stops and tell you some creepy places to see in Nevada.
So we will see you the fuck there next time
on this bad trip.